visit with Montgomery County Memorial Hospital and Clinics. With us this morning, Haley Runyon. How are
you,
Haley?
Good morning, Aaron.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
What's the most exciting thing going on with you today?
It's Monday.
Yes.
You can't spring that question on me.
It's early Monday, too.
It is early Monday. Well, we just moved, so that's about the big thing that's going on in my life right now.
Tell me about your kiddos. Tell me about your kiddos. Oldest to youngest.
So I have three girls, 10, 5, and 4, and then I have a baby boy who's almost 9 months now.
You're busy.
I'm so busy.
10, 5, and 4. Do you have plans this summer?
You know,
chase kiddos.
I mean, I still work Monday through Friday, so my plans don't change all that much. But we're going to South Dakota to see my parents, and then we'll do an Okoboji trip. But
what part of South Dakota?
Rapid City.
Rapid City, South Dakota, over on the other side.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good hike out there.
It's a good eight-hour drive with four kids, so that's fun.
Oh, yeah. How many wall drug signs will you pass on that trip?
I don't even know. So many.
A bunch. Well, that's fun. You know what? I know that it's challenging many times with the kids, but it's certainly worth it and makes some great memories.
So worth it.
Yeah. You bet. So we're going to talk about, Haley, stroke awareness, which is something people need to be thinking about.
Yes.
When did Montgomery County Memorial Hospital is a certified? Tell me the credentials.
So we're an advanced primary stroke center through the Joint Commission.
Yes. Thank you for that.
The Joint Commission is the governing body who comes in and makes sure we're following all of their expectations to hold that title.
Yes. How long has that been the case?
I believe it's since I came into this role in 2021 and they were certified at that time.
Okay.
I want to say 2020-ish, but don't quote me on that.
Have there been changes in the, like, that whole thing since? Because, like, telehealth and that has been around for a while, but really you mentioned 2020 is like when everything went in fast forward, right?
Yeah.
And we really got to be comfortable with that at a lot of different levels, but that's really when it kind of hit full stride, we can say.
Telehealth itself in general, not just for stroke, but it did kind of become more common in that time frame with COVID.
How many strokes are there? I mean, like at Montgomery County Memorial Hospital, how many do you treat a year or a month, or how do you look at that?
So roughly, we see about 30 to 50 confirmed strokes a year. Obviously, that changes based on a number of factors, but those are just our confirmed strokes. We have way more stroke alerts. I don't have a number for you, but that would mean, you know, we thought they were a stroke, but we may have run a bunch of tests and found out it was something different or maybe a stroke mimic of the sort. But roughly 30 to 50 confirmed ones a year.
May is Stroke Awareness Month.
It is.
So that's what we're going to talk about. And many of the things that we always talk about, early detection, early
treatment
is always important, especially when we're talking about a stroke.
Yes.
Because not only like you want to get, you want to realize and recognize, and I mean, we're talking like hours matter.
Yes. So time is absolutely huge, very critical for a stroke, especially an ischemic stroke. An ischemic stroke is the one there's a clot in one of your vessels in your brain, which is causing a blockage.
Okay.
You have up to 4.5 hours from your last known well, and your last known well just means the last time you were witnessed at your baseline. So you have 4.5 hours from that time to receive an IV clot busting drug. The one we use is called Tenecteplase.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a much simplified version of the one we were using previously. Due to some FDA recommendations and guideline changes. But yes, getting that Tenecteplase substantially increases your outcomes.
It's pretty remarkable, is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, Haley, talk to me like I don't understand. Okay?
Okay.
What's a stroke? You mentioned the clot in the brain, but there's a ischemic and a hemorrhagic. I don't know what that means necessarily, but you're going to explain that to me.
Yeah.
What is a stroke?
So to simplify it, a stroke happens when a blood flow to the part of the brain is blocked or a blood vessel in the brain bursts. So if a blood vessel is blocked, that's your ischemic stroke, a clot in the brain.
Okay.
If a blood vessel bursts, that's a bleed in the brain, and that's called a hemorrhagic stroke. Now, there's also another, I guess, type of stroke for lack of better words, that people always ask about, and that's the TIA.
Yes.
Or the mini stroke. And that's basically a mini ischemic stroke. So there's a temporary blockage in a vessel in the brain, but for whatever reason, it goes away. It might come back, but it's the waxing and waning of those symptoms.
Okay. Would one of those be more common than the other, ischemic or hemorrhagic? Which one do you see, or is it split?
Ischemic is much more prevalent.
Okay.
So the clot in the brain, it's about 87% of strokes.
Oh, wow.
Are ischemic.
Mm-hmm. By a long shot, it's the most common.
Yeah.
Is there one that's more damaging or more difficult to treat, or is it the same?
That's a hard question to answer. When you think about hemorrhagic strokes, those ones can be much more fatal just because they get bad quick.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about, you have a bleed in your brain and your heart's constantly pumping that blood, so it's just pumping blood up there.
Okay.
So they tend to get worse faster.
Okay.
But ischemic strokes, you know, depending on the location and the size of the clot, those could be, you know, just as fatal.
Okay.
So
either way, time is important.
Absolutely.
So one of the things that you, kind of a little acronym, BFAST, it's a pretty good one, but again, to our point that time matters when we're talking a stroke here. So BFAST, like I said, is an acronym. Balance. Tell me what we're talking about there.
So something that's important to think about when you're even considering these BFAST symptoms is, one, these symptoms need to be different from somebody's baseline. So if somebody, you know, has a baseline balance issue, that's probably not a red flag. It could be.
Right.
But use the context of the situation.
Sure.
But these symptoms also, they're typically sudden onset. Not always, but most of the time they are. So when we're talking about balance, that's just a sudden loss of balance. Maybe, you know, you see somebody who normally walks perfectly fine without any assistance, but then you see them and they have to grab onto the desk as they walk by, or maybe keep their hand on a wall because their balance is off.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not normal for them, that's definitely a red flag.
Eyes.
So eyes is any sudden visual change. It could be a blurred vision. It could be a complete loss of vision, whether that be the whole eye or mm-hmm. peripheral vision or anything. But really, it's any visual change that's different from your baseline.
Okay. Again, your baseline is what you would be on typical, normal, everyday. So BFAST, balance, eyes, face drooping, arm weakness, speech difficulty, time to call. Face drooping. That one's kind of, that would be self-explanatory, right? I mean,
yeah. And most of the time, face drooping is in the lower half of your face. So basically your nose down. You're looking right where your kind of your smile lines are.
Yeah.
And then also right at the corner of your mouth.
Okay.
Now, while we have seen patients who also kind of have a droop in their eye sometimes, but typically it's the lower half of your face.
Okay.
And one side or the other.
All right. Weakness, arm weakness.
Yeah. So we also include legs in this, just as a general rule of thumb. So it could be a weakness in the arm or the leg, or both, but typically one side or the other. And then it's not always just a weakness. It could be completely flaccid, like you can't move it at all.
Right. Okay. Speech difficulty.
Speech is a very broad category, but just in general, it's any change of speech from your baseline. Again, so that could be you sound like you're drunk, you're mm-hmm. slurring your speech, that type of thing. Or maybe that person is not understanding what you're saying, but they can speak back to you normally, or the complete opposite. They can understand you, but they can't speak back to you.
Yeah. I'm going to give you an example of that that's pretty well known. But there is and most people know Senator John Fetterman from Pennsylvania. He had a significant stroke mm-hmm. while he was running for office. And people kind of made fun of him on it, honestly, because part of his recovery, sometimes his speech when he was trying to answer a question was just way off.
Yeah.
And that was as a result of a stroke that he had, and he's doing very well now, as a matter mm-hmm. of fact. But again, that was what caused that issue with him. So
yeah, it all depends on the location of the clot for what's going to be affected.
Yeah. And that one was very public, and it's out there, and there was a whole lot said about it. But again, it's an example of what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So BFAST. Balance, eyes, face drooping, arm weakness, speech difficulty, and time to call. So if you have these symptoms, don't think, well, I'm going to wait a few minutes or I'm going to wait an hour.
Yeah, don't wait.
Don't wait.
You're just kicking yourself in the butt if you do that.
What's the worst thing that could happen if you call, you go, and you think, okay, well, you're not having a stroke. Great.
Right. We rule it out, and then you get to go on with your day.
Right. Right.
Yes.
The best thing is that in the case that you are having a stroke, that you're there early enough that you can do some of these things that can really make a huge difference in your recovery.
Yeah. I mean, you're really just setting yourself up for the opportunity to have better outcomes if this is the case.
Absolutely. Some of the common things. So just answer. Are you ready, Haley?
Yeah.
Strokes can happen at any age.
True.
All right. Symptoms that resolve can still be a transient ischemic attack or a mini stroke.
Yeah, that's that TIA we were talking about earlier.
Uh-huh.
A big thing to consider is 1 in 5 people who have a TIA will go on to have a full ischemic stroke within 90 days.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And
no
really,
kidding.
Nearly half of that number happen within the first 48 hours.
So you have a mini stroke and the symptoms resolve, and you think, I'm okay.
Yes.
And then
you're not.
Okay.
So if you have those symptoms that are consistent with BFAST that we just talked about,
yep,
and they go away, you still want to come in.
Okay. Delaying treatment can limit treatment options or worsen outcomes.
Yeah, so we talked about that IV clot-busting drug that you can have within 4.5 hours of that last known well. If you are not within that time frame, we can't give it to you because then the risks outweigh the benefits. However, I will tell you that there have been some new studies that have been published stating that there might be some benefit to extending that window beyond 4.5 hours. One of them kind of talks about going up to 9 hours, and one of them talks about going up to 24 hours. The 9 hour one.
That's a big difference.
It is. Yeah.
Wow.
Almost twice.
Yeah.
Has a better recommendation on it than the 24 hour one. So we are in discussions with Nebraska Medicine, which is our hub site. So anytime a stroke patient comes in, we're speaking with Nebraska Medicine, and oftentimes the patient or the family is as well. So we are in discussion with them talking about, do we want to extend that window here?
Okay. The best case though, the thing to do if you suspect that you may be having a stroke, as soon as you suspect it, go through some of those items. And then what do I do at that point?
Okay.
Do I call 911? Do I just have someone take me to the hospital? Do I call ahead? What's protocol? What do I do?
Yeah, lots of different things to think about. So my first recommendation would be to call 911. And I know you might think, well, I just have a facial droop. I can still use my arms. I can still use my legs. I can drive to the hospital.
Yeah.
Which might be true at that moment. However, depending on if you do have a stroke and the location of that clot, you might lose those functions at any point.
Which could be really bad.
Yes. Could be bad for you and for anybody else on the road.
Right. Absolutely.
Another thing to consider is that we have a very smooth procedure local EMS team.
I want you to tell me about what happens at the hospital, but I'm sorry to interrupt. Yes, go ahead.
So Red Oak Rescue, they know and are surrounding other EMS teams, but Red Oak Rescue, we work with them quite a bit. They know exactly what they're looking for. They know if they identify those symptoms in somebody that they call us immediately so we can prepare and have all the necessary people waiting in the ER so we can make that happen as smooth as possible. And they can treat some other issues that you might be having right there in the ambulance.
Okay.
So you definitely, I always recommend, please call 911.
So, and the reason for that is not only do they get you to the hospital quickly.
Yes.
But then that sets in play a whole series of things that you're going to be doing on your end at the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, we need to do this, we need to do this, we need to do this. And
we're
it just
making
goes,
sure
yeah.
there's nobody in the CT scanner so we can get you in there immediately. We're making sure we have our respiratory team there so in case you have any trouble breathing. We're making sure lab's there so we can get that blood drawn immediately.
Right.
All of these things we can prepare for if we're notified.
Yes. So, again, it's important to call 911 if you suspect that you're having a stroke.
Yes.
And then maybe you're not. And you get there and everything is fine and that's going to be great.
Yes.
Everyone's happy. But you need to take that and you need to exit. So let's talk a little bit about with that because you have this whole series of procedures and protocols that you set in place when you think it's a stroke. What are some of the capabilities that we have at Montgomery County Memorial Hospital? Talk to me about some of the things that go around the certification and then all of that that we have there.
So as a primary stroke center, the big thing that sets that apart from other certifications is we can give that IV clot busting drug. So that's the big thing with the primary certification. Yeah. But, you know, other things that we have capabilities to do that other smaller facilities or more rural facilities might not have is we have imaging 24/7. So you can have a CT, a CTA, a CTP. I know you, I'm sorry, lots of letters here.
A lot of acronyms there. Yes. I'm trusting your word. This is all good, right?
Yes.
We can do all this. Yes.
Or MRI. We can do all of these things. We have lab there 24/7. We have respiratory therapy there 24/7. We have ER providers who are specifically trained to treat these stroke patients. We have access to Nebraska Medicine 24/7, and we use their neurologists for recommendations on treatment plans. We have nursing staff there 24/7.
Uh-huh.
So we really are just sitting there waiting. We have everything ready.
This is all ready to go.
Yes.
Again, why it's important to make that call, then you put all of this mechanism into play to help me get the best possible outcome, which is, I think it's really comforting to know.
Yeah.
I was telling you off air that my great-grandmother had a stroke a long, long time ago. It was much different in the early 70s when that happened.
Yeah, treatment has definitely progressed.
Much different, and I just think it's a real blessing. So are there things, Haley, that we can do as individuals to do what we control, what we can control to take care of ourselves so that maybe we never have a stroke in the first place?
Yes. So what you're asking right now is what kind of modifiable risk factors do you have? So what?
Yes.
What can you control?
Yes.
So things would be your blood pressure. If you have high blood pressure, go see your primary care provider and get on a plan to figure out how to bring that down.
Mm-hmm.
If you are obese, take care of your weight, start eating better, exercise, meet with one of our dietitians. We have some great dietitians in our facility. If you're diabetic, we have a diabetic educator. She can help you get better control of your diabetes and help you figure out, how do I test? What do those numbers mean? How do I fix those numbers?
Mm-hmm.
Stop smoking and using tobacco. Exercise. We also have a medically referred exercise training program. So we have a personal trainer in-house. If that's something that you are intimidated by, you know, you walk into a gym, you're like, I don't know how to use this stuff.
Right.
We have Jacob Wood there who can make a whole plan for you, show you how to use everything. And maybe you don't want to go to a gym. He can make you a plan
right
in your home. So exercise, maintain your regular follow-ups with your primary care provider, and then talk to that provider about what your specific risk factors are. There are some that you're not going to have any control over, such as age, race, gender, family history type of things. But most of those risk factors you can control.
Yeah. Control what you can control, and we know what we need to do, Haley.
Yeah,
everyone knows.
I know.
Eat right, exercise, take care of those chronic conditions that you may have.
Yeah.
And they're very treatable.
They are.
Take care of yourself.
Up to actually about 80% of strokes are preventable.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge number.
Huge.
Wow. So men and women, who's more likely to have a stroke?
Women, actually.
And you can have a stroke at any age?
Any age. I mean, newborn babies, pregnant moms, teenagers. I was just showing an article with an 8-year-old who had a stroke.
Right.
Obviously, our older population, our middle-aged, anybody.
It's probably more likely as you get a little older, like everything, right?
Yeah.
But it's at any age that there's a possibility of stroke.
Absolutely.
All right. Be fast.
Be fast.
I know what that means because you have it written down for me. Mm-hmm. Balance, eyes, face drooping, arm weakness, speech difficulty, and then time to call 911. And again, even if it does resolve itself, you still need to have that checked out. What else do we need to touch on, Haley, that we have not touched on?
Something that I've really been focusing on lately is making sure children are educated on some of these symptoms. You think about, you know, maybe your kids stay home with grandma and grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
Or even yourself as a parent, as we said, strokes can happen at any age. So even if you just pick 2 or 3 of those symptoms and teach your children what they mean, and then teach them how to use your phone to call 911.
Yes. That's a good point.
Things you just don't think about
until
you're in that position.
Yeah. Okay. Is there a time that's more likely? Are more strokes in the morning, in the afternoon, or in the evening?
I don't have an accurate answer for that, but I will tell you we do see, I feel like, a greater number of wake-up strokes, meaning somebody goes to bed.
That's pretty common with heart attack as well, right? I mean, a lot of people have heart attacks in the morning. Yeah, I read an article on that.
Yeah.
Because of the stress of getting up and getting going.
I get that.
I don't know how much truth. I mean, I read the article, so it had to be true, right, Haley?
Yeah.
I don't know. So there you go. What else do we need to be aware of? Teach your kids to recognize. That's a great point because, like you say, if they're with grandma and grandpa, or really whoever.
Anybody.
It could be anybody.
Yeah.
So if they can recognize it, that's great.
You know, I think that, you know, we're teaching all of our kids in high school how to do CPR. This is another thing we should just tack on there. Pick just a couple of symptoms. You don't have to do all the be fast ones. Just pick a couple and teach them.
So what is the name of the medication that you administer?
So now we use Tenecteplase.
Okay.
We were using a different one before.
You said it's much simpler.
Yes.
Tell me what that means. Why is it much simpler?
So this is going to get a little complicated.
That's okay. I've had my coffee. Let it rip,
okay,
Haley.
So the one we used before, that was called Altaplace. And when you give Altaplace, they're both weight-based drugs. So we have to know what your weight is to be able to calculate the dose. Uh-huh. But Altaplace, the one we were using previously, you have to give a 10% of that dose in a bolus, so just pushing it in the IV pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And then the other remaining amount you have to give over an hour. So that presented some difficulties if we needed to, let's say, transfer the patient out for a higher level of care.
Sure.
And maybe there wasn't the appropriate responding staff that we would need for that patient to stay on the drip and go. With the Tenecteplase, though, the new drug that we are currently using, it's just a one-time bolus, so a one-time push right into your IV and you're done.
Oh, yeah. I can see where that's much simpler.
Yes.
Less room for error the whole bit.
Yes. Yes, less calculating all of those dosages, and then a 60-minute infusion versus just a one-time.
Is there one better than the other? I mean, the efficacy is the same.
Yeah, it's considered non-inferior, so it means they're basically equivalent.
The yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. What else do we need to touch on, Haley, that we haven't touched on yet this morning?
You've done a really great job of touching on the important things.
I think it is important for people just to kind of be aware of what's going on. Because it can happen anytime at a restaurant, sitting at home watching TV.
Yes.
I mean, anytime it can happen. Basketball game, soccer game.
Yeah. Another thing I would say is check in on your older family members. Maybe, you know, grandma lives alone. You haven't heard from her in a little bit. Just check in.
Yeah.
Because time is huge, as we've discussed.
Absolutely. Very good. All right, Haley. Nice to see you.
It's nice to see you, too, as always.
It's a pleasure to visit with you. It's a great thing, and it's comforting to know that that's available because, I mean, right here in Southwest Iowa, you can get the treatment that can literally make a massive, I mean, it could save your life, but make a immediate massive difference in the quality of your life for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important stuff.
Something Aaron had asked me at the beginning of our discussion before we got on air, he said, are you nervous when a stroke patient comes in?
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, at this point, we have such a well-oiled machine. It's just, all right, this is what we have. This is what we do.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
That is kind of that whole system that is in place that's important for people to know.
It is.
So, absolutely. Great information. Very cool. Thanks, Haley.
Thanks, Aaron.
What's the rest of your day hold today? You don't know.
You know, it's Monday. I've got some new hires, so we'll be training some new staff.
All right. Very cool. Make it a great day.
Thanks, Aaron.
Haley Runyon with me. May is Stroke Awareness Month, so remember, be fast, and we'll continue to remind people of that as well. Make it a great day. Thanks, Haley.
If your air conditioner just isn't able to keep up, maybe it's time to call the professionals at John.